Hey, you. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. What's your problem? Why are you so angry? Who are you even angry with? Do you even remember? You're angry with your parents? You're angry with your kids? You're angry with the government? You're angry with your boss, your spouse? Maybe you're angry with your pastor? Are you angry with God? There's a lot of anger in the world at the moment. All you need to do is look at the news and you see people expressing their anger in broken ways. If you look at the movies that we watch these days, there's a common theme in so many of them, and that's somebody who's been a victim of injustice and they go and they get their revenge. And these are blockbuster success stories because they appeal to a fantasy that so many of us have, that of getting back at those who've hurt us. And Jesus speaks about anger and confronts it as one of the biggest spiritual problems that so many of us have. We are on a journey through the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus describes a whole new world. And I want to pick up in chapter 5 when Jesus starts speaking about anger. Now, remember, he's also confronting the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and those who believe that you could attain righteousness by good works, and pointing out an even higher, making it even harder to be righteous, a higher type of spirituality. And so Jesus says this: you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the fires of hell. Question: is it wrong for a Christian to be angry? Is it a sin? And no, that's my straight up answer. It's not a sin. Anger is an emotion, and certain things make us angry, and rightly so. Right now, if you're not slightly angry about some of the things going on in the world, you just need to check your pulse. The blatant abuse of power and opportunistic corruption that some of our nation's leaders have been doing during lockdown, that should make your blood boil. The racist violence and hatred that's been happening in South Africa and other places in the world, and also the equally violent responses to that racism, and should make you angry. Even Jesus got angry when he saw certain things happening. When he saw the corruption happening in the ministry, in the temple, it made him so angry that he kicked over the tables and he drove out all of the animals. He rebuked Pharisees sometimes with anger, and I believe even his own disciples. What is judged is not our anger, but what we do with that anger. How do we let it play out? How do we deal with our anger? Ephesians chapter 4 says, be angry, but do not sin. Anger that is not dealt with is the root of all kinds of sin, including murder. Every murder began with anger, and every angry person has the potential to commit murder. It needs to be dealt with. Another question maybe is then, is murder really as bad as anger? Well, obviously the consequences of murder are far worse than just anger. But for the soul of the angry person, not dealing with that anger and suppressing it can be incredibly painful and damaging. Unresolved anger is a terrible thing. How does unresolved anger play out? Well, we turn sometimes to insults or to slander of a person, maybe to their face, maybe more often behind their back. And it's a sign of a heart that is judgmental and full of anger. Jesus says that if we in our anger turn and call somebody a fool, whether we do that to them publicly or to their faces, or we do that privately, we are liable to the fires of hell. The word fool that Jesus used there is the word racha. If we call anybody racha, it's not quite a swear word, but in fact, we've discovered the Aramaic word often used for a rugby referee. You racha, you fool, okay? You idiot. And how often do we say these things recklessly, not thinking much of it? But Jesus says that kind of attitude, that kind of unresolved anger, you're in danger of the fires of hell. These days, the introduction of social media has created more ways for people to vent their unresolved anger, usually at no one in particular. You know, the old anonymous rant, certain people should, whatever, and you can fill in the dots. Well, sometimes we rant and rave at someone we have very little chance of ever actually meeting in person. Jesus warns us, this is not healthy behavior for a righteous person. And the sad truth is, we almost always take out our anger on the wrong people, like this guy over here, right? Or road rage. Yes, the guy cut in front of you, but you're actually snapping because you're already angry with your spouse or with your brother or with your God. Perhaps you try to suppress that anger and it manifests in an emotional brokenness or depression, an inward collapse. Jesus is warning us that anger not dealt with is dangerous for others and for ourselves. And so I think we have three options when it comes to this. First thing you can do with all of that anger is you can act on it. You can snap. You can take it out. You can go and punch someone in the face. You can maybe even go all the way and commit murder. I'm not instructing you. I'm just saying this is what one of your options may be. Act out on it. The problem with this is the likelihood is you're going to take it out on the wrong person. You're going to take it out on your dog or your wife or your children or whoever else and never get to the person who actually hurt you in the first place. And more than that, acting out on your anger causes somebody else pain, which may well translate in them becoming angry, taking it out on someone else. And so the cycle continues. Option two, though, you can suppress it. You can pretend that anger is not there and you can bury it down deep and just never talk about it. The problem, though, with that is it's still there. That anger is still unresolved. And that's going to keep you up at night. And that's going to stop your prayer life. And that's going to block your spiritual journey, because God will keep bringing it up again and again and again. Option three, though, is Jesus tells us we need to deal with it by bringing our anger into the light. He continues in his sermon. He says, so if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Now, these are amazing words from Jesus. And remember, Jesus often teaches in extremes because his principles and his values of his new kingdom are so radically different from those of the world. So he makes a radical example here, a person who's about to engage in an act of worship and then is suddenly reminded of a broken relationship and they stop, they pause their act of worship and are reconciled before coming back and continuing with the act of worship. And how often does it happen, by the way, when you're angry with somebody that you try to pray, you try to press into worship and connect with the Lord and that face pops up in your head or that incident replays itself in your mind? And yes, psychologists will probably tell you that's PTSD, but I believe sometimes it's the Holy Spirit placing in your mind and in your heart a broken relationship that needs to be reconciled. And I sometimes think that God's almost saying, I'm not going to listen to you until you go and sort that problem out. I can't hear you. Sort the problem out, says the Lord. Go, stop what you're doing, be reconciled, and then continue with your worship. Note the urgency in what Jesus is saying. Don't wait for another day to pass. Do not let this anger fester in your life. And note also what Jesus says is if your brother has something against you. So they're the one that's angry at you perhaps. And he's saying don't go and defend yourself. Don't write it off because you don't feel like you've done anything wrong. Whether it's legit or not, the reason that they're angry with you, you have a responsibility as a Christian to go and be reconciled with them. If for no other reason, to help that person to deal with their anger so they don't cause further pain to anybody else. So how do we go and seek out this reconciliation? Here's a couple of guidelines. And just my anticipation is that after this, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you about broken relationships in your life and you're going to have some homework to do. So here's a couple of steps Firstly, try and figure out who it is that you're angry with. And this might take some time to process. Very often, the person who gets the brunt of our anger is not actually the one that we are angry with. Perhaps that person is no longer around for you to deal with that, and you're going to need to bring that pain before the Lord. But who is it that's hurt you and that has made you angry? Try and figure that out. The second thing then is ask yourself this question: is this my problem or theirs? There may be something that you don't like about this person, but there's nothing that they can do to help it. If they have an irritating laugh, that's your problem, not theirs. They can't change that about themselves to accommodate you. And so there's no confrontation that's going to come out of that. You need to work on your own hearts. But if something that they're doing is causing you pain, then you have a responsibility to confront them. And that confrontation needs to happen. So is it my problem or is it theirs? Third thing then, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Remember, God promises if you pray for wisdom, He's going to give it to you every single time. And so pray for the right time to approach this person, the right way to approach this person. I really believe God will guide you in this. But if you go bulldozing into somebody's life in an unwise way, you can cause even further damage. The fourth thing then is check your motives if you're going to confront somebody. Will this confrontation cause pain? Am I doing this to get a jab back at this person? Am I wanting to hurt them? Am I going to try and defend myself in this? You know, Alcoholics Anonymous, for example, step number 8 in the 12-step recovery process is to make amends in relationships where possible. But there's this little clause which is added there, which says, except when to do so would cause harm to others. So sometimes there comes a point where confronting another person will cause more harm to the relationship and to other relationships than it would be to just keep that to yourself. Again, God will give you the wisdom for this, but check your motives before confronting somebody. Then fifth thing, you need to surrender your expectations. What is it that you want from this person? An apology? A royal pardon, a refund. You need to lay those expectations down. You're not doing this to get a pat on the back. You're not doing this to be apologized to or to, you know, have all of these years of hurt paid for in some way. You're doing this because you're being obedient to what God has told you to do, which is to go and be reconciled to your brother. You are being obedient and God will take it from there. Surrender all your expectations at the door. And then the last thing, you need to speak up. You need to speak up. If once you've gone through all of these other steps, you know that this confrontation still needs to happen, you need to make it happen. And once you've said your piece, let it go. Remember, the word says this, if possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. There comes a point, if this is something that God has laid on your shoulders, once you've said your part, you leave it with Him. And the onus may be on the other person to perhaps apologize or to counter or to do whatever they need to do, but it's no longer your burden. You've surrendered that to the Lord. See, Jesus invites us to resolve our conflicts as Christians within the church body. We shouldn't need the judges of this world to intervene. We should be able to resolve our stuff, and it's part of our testimony to the world. And I want to encourage you to listen into the Breakfast Bites over the next couple of days, because we really are going to tackle the subject of reconciliation and how we deal with anger in relationships. Church, all of us have sinned in our anger. All of us have. All of us have murdered in our minds. All of us need God's grace through Jesus Christ today as we confess that anger. And the good news is that Jesus Christ invites us, as we walk with Him, to deal with our anger correctly by bringing it out into the light, His light. As we confess it, as we own it, as we try to understand it and take seriously the steps to resolve it, we will see in His body, the church, people living free from anger and its poison. May we be a body of believers like that. I want to pray now, particularly for those to whom the Holy Spirit has spoken today. He's revealed and just pointed out anger in your heart that has not been dealt with. I want to pray for you today, wherever you find yourself. Let's pray. Lord, I don't know who is watching this video or who is listening into this, who needed to hear this today. But Lord, I am sure there are many whose hearts are angry, and you by your Spirit have zoomed in on that anger. I pray, Father God, that you will help them in this process of resolving that anger. And it's not something that's going to be solved overnight necessarily. This may be weeks, months, even years of healing that needs to happen. But I know that your desire for us as your people, Jesus, is that we be freed from the poison and the pains of anger in our lives. I pray, Father God, that you would give every single person who is aware now of this anger the opportunity to respond to you in obedience, to follow some of the steps that I've laid out this morning, and grant them the opportunity to be reconciled with whoever it is that has hurt them. I want to speak to you again as individuals, wherever you are. If that's you today, I want to ask that you would just open your palms in this way and surrender your anger before the Lord. And in doing so, may you experience God's peace flood your heart right now. His healing touch. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you, as this stuff comes flooding out of your life, that all of it has been paid for on the cross of Jesus Christ. Your murderous thoughts, your judgmental heart, your deep-seated anger, and the broken ways that you have expressed that anger. Jesus Christ has paid for it all. And the good news is this, he's not finished with you yet. Trust him with this journey of reconciliation and healing. Trust him with the next season of your life. Lord, again, we praise you. We thank you for your faithfulness and for your word. Ask that through the week, again by your Holy Spirit, you continue to do the deep work of healing that is so much a part of your own heart, Lord Jesus. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen.
What an incredible service that was, wasn't it? And I know that for some of us, you're sitting wherever you are right now, and you feel a bit uneasy, even a bit broken, because some of those wounds have been opened up again. Friends, God's calling us to deal with those wounds. And if you're struggling with some of the step-by-step guides that Duncan shared with us, and you want to unpack this further, we would highly recommend this book. And most of us would know that Don Bodley, who passed away recently, and we celebrated his memorial service yesterday, he did a course on this book, on being the peacemakers, being the reconcilers in our society today. I would highly recommend, we would highly recommend that you would read this book. And hopefully one day when we're able to again, we can do Don's course as a church and be known in Durban North and beyond as the peacemakers on earth. And so as we close our service today, let me share the benediction with you. And now, May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Have a peaceful week. Cheers.